We're going to come to the sermon now, so there should be a PowerPoint that comes up, but as we approach God's word on a subject that is a pretty difficult one sometimes for some people, let's pray for his grace and wisdom as we look at this subject. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that you are a God that we can hide ourselves in, that we can take refuge, that we can rest in. And Lord, as this Sabbath, as it was commanded, it was also a sign of what was to come, a bigger and a greater rest which is found in Christ. So Lord, we pray that we'll lean more on him today, that we would be refreshed. It's wise to take days off, and it's good to be refreshed and go on holidays. But Lord, that's pointing us forward to a greater rest, a greater hope. And so, Lord, we just pray that our focus wouldn't be captured on perhaps points of which we will disagree tonight. Lord, we pray that our focus would be on, yes, let me find my rest in Christ all the more. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So, the fourth command now of the Ten Commandments. As we start, let me ask, where do you think the world is heading in the future? Where's it heading? Climate catastrophes, maybe asteroid impact. Remember watching a film called Deep Impact? That was an old one. Nuclear Armageddon. Global pandemic. That doesn't seem so far-fetched now, does it? Perhaps what we've seen in this last week or so. Well, not today, but the world overheating. Something like that. Where's the world heading in the future? In its climax. Well, all those things I just mentioned, none of them are according to the Bible. Climate catastrophes, asteroid impacts, well, none of them according to the Bible. Eventually, what the Bible is telling us is that the world will be brought to rest. Rest. Perfection. Peace for God's people. The goal of the world, where the world is heading, is the Sabbath. Ultimate Sabbath. Ultimate rest. But then, what does now, before we get to that point, now, what does the Sabbath mean for us? I haven't actually seen the film, but I obviously know what it's about. But have you seen the film Chariots of Fire? A famous runner, Eric Liddell. He refuses, doesn't he, to run in the heats of his 100-meter races, in the heats of his 100-meter race, because the races were on a Sunday. He was pressurized loads then by the British Olympic Committee to take part, but he stood firm, and it made headlines around the world, and as I say, even a film written about his life. Earlier in the film, apparently, as I say, I haven't seen it, but earlier in the film, apparently there's a scene of Eric. He saw a young lad kicking a football around on a Sunday, and he said to him, gently, sensitively, the Sabbath is not a day for playing football, is it? And bashfully, the boy said, no, it's not. I mean, his Christian commitment, especially in the face of opposition, especially in the face of criticism, it's brilliant to see. I wish I was more like that. But was he right about those things? Some of you here will be saying, yes, absolutely. Some of us will be thinking, I don't know. And this has been a debate, wasn't it, for Christians for ages, and it seems a very sensitive topic. For some people, this topic of the Sabbath, it is a hill to die on. And you may feel as though actually you're here tonight and this is an important topic for you, and that's okay. God made the world, as we looked at this morning, God made the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh, which would have been a Saturday. And so we're made in his image, so we should work and rest like him, shouldn't we? But what is actually being commanded? What does this actually practically look like for us today? Does that mean you should not work on a Saturday? Because that's what it was traditionally. Does it mean, like Eric Liddell, you shouldn't play sport on a Sunday or something like that? Well, let's see what God's word says. Let's go back to the original command, Exodus 20. So it should be on the screen as well. Exodus 20, 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them,
but he rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So this Sabbath day, this seventh day of the week, which would have been a Saturday that Israel observed, it was to be remembered. They shouldn't do any work. Why? As it says there, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Holy, set apart. It was a day that was to be different. And that's kind of our first point. Point one is a day that is different. And kind of like Tim this morning, my first point's vastly longer than the others, so don't despair. But the command's clear, isn't it? Very clear. It's very clear about not working on the Sabbath day, isn't it? No family member, no servants, not even any foreigner who's in the land who doesn't believe in God at all is to do any work on the Sabbath day. You couldn't even leave your ox just wandering around in the field with its plow still attached. You can't do that. It's counted as work. It was a day of total shutdown. The word Sabbath itself kind of comes from this meaning of the word stop or to cease. The Sabbath day was a stopping day. And we have to say there were exceptions. We're told that. Some work just needed to be done. Cows needed milking. We needed milk this morning in the kitchen as well, didn't we? But anyway, people, animals needed feeding. Old Testament goes on to say, and it said in that Matthew passage, that the priests in the sanctuary still needed to work. Soldiers still needed to be on guard. What we're saying is those things that were necessary, they still took place. But they were not to do anything that could have been done on the other 6 days. For example, and some examples should come up on the screen, they shouldn't be collecting any firewood, Numbers 15. Not lighting fires. By that, I think what it means is not lighting any new fires. I think you're allowed to keep original fires going throughout that time. They didn't have a flick of the switch to turn the light on, so that's fair enough. But no buying, selling, or transporting goods. And there's a few verses there. They weren't even, whenever it was harvest time, and the pressure to work would have been enormous. Even during that harvest time, they weren't even to plough during the season when the pressure of the work would be high. It was a special day that was marked out from the rest of the week. It showed that the people had to trust God to provide for that day. The people were to think differently. The people were to live differently than all the nations around them. And this wasn't God just being harsh and strict with his people. Now, when we hear the Ten Commandments, maybe that's what we think. This is God being quite cold and rigid, the Ten Commandments. But actually, hopefully, as we saw last week with our last command about praising God's name, actually, this is a thing that they can delight in. These commands are actually a warm and wonderful thing. Because actually, listening to this command gave God's people something different that no one else had, something special. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. "If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, then you'll find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the lands." The Sabbath wasn't meant to be a harsh, horrible thing, but a delight. As last week, we said, your attitude to God's name shows your attitude to God. If you honoured his name, you honoured him. And here, their attitude to the Sabbath showed their attitude to God. You honoured this day against any of the other days. You honoured this day because you wanted to honour God. And when you did that, as that verse says, it would result in blessing from God. And now I think there's a number of reasons for the Sabbath, but I think two reasons why the Sabbath is given is a symbolic reason and a creation reason. And we're going to look at creation reason first. As kind of, as we said this morning as well, the Sabbath was a part of the pattern of creation, wasn't it? And we definitely know we're not machines that can keep working 24/7. I certainly can't. We need to reset our minds. We need to reset our bodies sometimes. And that's okay, because it's a biblical thing. Exodus 23, verse 12 says, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that the ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. It's not a surprise. This was God's design. We need time to rest and be refreshed. Actually, the word refresh there in that verse literally means to draw breath. You know what that feels like sometimes, isn't it? We just need to, I can stop. It's simply part of how we're made. And we must live within the limits of our humanity. It's how we're made. He designed us. He knows us. God rested on the seventh day. We're made in him, his image. So we need to understand our limits. Perhaps that's the creation reason for the Sabbath. But the second reason, it was a symbolic reason for the Sabbath. It was a symbol. It was much more, it was a day off, but it was much more than a day off. It was a sign. It pointed to something. Again, later on in Exodus, we see Exodus 31, 12 to 17. Sorry, I'm working going hard tonight. But you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So this Sabbath was a sign between God's people and God. It was a covenant sign between the Israelites and God. It was about this, it showed more than anyone else on the planet the special relationship they had with God. That as they stopped working on that Saturday, that would have reminded them, oh, this is amazing, because we are above everyone else. We are God's special people. We're God's special people, that they were his, God was theirs. It showed that relationship. And that's why breaking the Sabbath actually was so serious, where we see the consequences for breaking the Sabbath as being serious. Because actually breaking the Sabbath, well, actually what that showed was, I don't want to be part of God's people. Not keeping the Sabbath, I don't want to be in relationship with God as his special people. That's why it was serious. Lots of you all know the Ten Commandments are repeated in a few books on, aren't they, in Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy shows us another reason for the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. And we mentioned this morning, didn't we, in Hebrews, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. As Tim was saying this morning, look, this is God saying, look, you remember your past, right? You were slaves. You didn't have a Sabbath. You toiled and worked every day. And now I've freed you from that. Mightily, with a mighty outstretched arm. And so the Sabbath is connected to being saved. They are to rest because God has rescued. And so this shows that this picture of the Sabbath, it shows it's not just simply taking a rest from work. It is that. That is important. The Sabbath is also a picture and a sign that this is a God who saves. Something you delight in because he's a God who saves and provides. And so when they stopped, when they rested, they were remembering what God had done for them. Remember when we were slaves, how hard it was, the toil, and now we get this rest because of the relationship we've got with God. They celebrated their salvation, simply put. And so this is all well and good for them. And as kind of we looked at this morning, what does this mean for us as God's people today? We're God's people today, so what does it mean for us as God's people? So as we said, isn't it? The Sabbath was a sign, and a sign points to something, doesn't it? It was a signpost to something else. And our second point is a sign that's been fulfilled. The Sabbath's a sign that's been fulfilled. Remember, we talked about Genesis this morning. We looked at some of Genesis 1 and 2. Remember the next chapter, when sin entered the world. And God told the consequences of sin to three, didn't they? He said, consequences of sin to the serpent, you'll walk on your belly for the rest of your days. To Eve, he said, you'll have pain in childbirth. And then what was Adam told? Genesis 3:17, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all of the days of your life. And we know, don't we, as fallen humanity, we've been looking for rest from this toil because of sin ever since. We know what this is like. And so throughout the Old Testament, what we're meant to do when we read through the Old Testament is every time we get to a Bible figure, a person, we're meant to be thinking, is this the person to rescue me from my toil because of sin? Is this the person? Abraham, no, it didn't work. Isaac, no, it didn't work. King David, no, we're still in toil. And we see genealogy after genealogy after genealogy, and actually after the very first genealogy we see in Scripture, we get to a person whose name is called Noah. And we think, is this the one who's going to rescue us? Is this the one who will rescue? Genesis 5:29, his father named him Noah and said, he will comfort us in our labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. Noah's name literally means rest. Is he the one that's going to finally come and bring us this rest? Well, we read on, we know that didn't work. But even this sign to the Israelites, it was a pointer. Look, I haven't forgotten, this rest is going to come. And then eventually we get to this little place that no one really knows about called Galilee, about a person not really many people know about called Jesus, which means God saves. And then we read the words then of Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's here. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. After looking at the past, how refreshing is it then to hear that? And Jesus isn't saying here that he'll come and just give us a break from work because we're busy, we're stressed out with life. He's claimed to be the true source of rest, isn't he? It says there, doesn't it? Rest for your souls. Jesus is this true Sabbath. It was only ever pointing to him. And so when we come to him, we receive that rest that was lost in Genesis 3. Rest for our souls. And the Apostle Paul, he agreed with this. He saw this Sabbath was fulfilled. It was a shadow that pointed forward to Jesus. Colossians 2:16-17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. He's here. The Sabbath, it showed what was to come. A better rest, an eternal rest. Shadows, they have a shape, don't we? They have an outline, shadows, but they're not the real thing. In the end, it's a shadow. The Sabbath pictured, wonderfully pictured, rest for us. It was from God. It wonderfully pictured rest for us, but it wasn't the real thing. That true and better rest always came by trusting Jesus for that eternal rest. And this is what we talked about this morning. This is what Tim mentioned, wasn't it? Therefore, Hebrews 4:9-11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for God, the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by their example of disobedience. It's saying we enter this rest by trusting Jesus. And so again, remember the parallel. Again, remember the people, when they stopped and they rested, they were remembering, praise God, we've been saved from Egypt. They didn't achieve that, God did. And that's exactly what we see today, not by our works, by trusting Jesus to be our Sabbath, to save us from this wrestling, this toil of sin. Well, then we know rest. Then we can do what, like the Israelites did, celebrate our salvation. And so, importantly, and perhaps this is the bit you've been waiting for, where does this leave us today? How do we observe the Sabbath today? Are we still to do that now on Saturdays? Or is it now a Christian Sabbath on Sundays? And so this is what we look at with our final point, responding to God. How are we going to respond? Well, you've seen, haven't we? There was a creation reason for the Sabbath and a symbolic reason. The creation reason, we need rest. We need refreshment. There was this salvation reason for the Sabbath as well, that Jesus is the true and better rest. He's the true and better Sabbath. He provides rest for our souls, takes us into that eternal rest. And so we know there's a huge amount of views out there on this now about what the Sabbath looks like for Christians now. And should we regard Sunday or Saturday as special? Is the new Christian Sabbath on a Sunday? Should we stop working, shopping, playing sport on Sundays? What I do think about this command of the Sabbath, it is probably the command that has changed most since the Old Testament. It's a command that's changed most since the Old Testament. The Sabbath was definitely a command for Israel, but as we've seen, it's also a sign. It was pointing forward to something, which means because it's a sign as well, it means it's been fulfilled. So that means it doesn't function and operate in the same way today because Christ fulfilled it. Jesus fulfilling the law didn't abolish rest. We definitely should rest. But it actually ushers us into a deeper kind of rest that the Sabbath could never offer. It's showing us a deeper rest that the old Sabbath couldn't offer. I definitely still agree, 100% agree, for the creation reason of the Sabbath. We need to take time for physical rest and refreshment today. The pattern of one day off in seven, while no longer perhaps a command by law, it's definitely wisdom for us today, definitely. And Jesus is definitely the true rest, but we do still need to take a physical break from work as well. I think the creation reason for the Sabbath is still needed today because we are still, this side of glory, we are still weak human beings who get tired and exhausted and weak. So that pattern of one day off in seven, it's needed. But is Sunday now the Christian Sabbath because we're God's people, because of the church? Well, no. What is the command focused on in the Old Testament? The command was focused on not working. It wasn't focused on religious gathering. And just question, what did the early church do? What did the early church? This is just perhaps where, you know, maybe if you think our modern church tradition had just got this wrong today and it was so much better back then. What did the early church do? Well, to be honest, the first Christians in the early church, they had to work on a Sunday. It wasn't a day off. It didn't come a day off until the 4th century. And there isn't a huge amount of evidence that the early church chose to meet on a Sunday. They saw it as this new Sabbath. Now, some suggest that Christians started to meet together after a Sunday evening when they finished work and they met on a Sunday because it was Resurrection Day, the day Jesus was resurrected. The only, correct me if I'm wrong and feel free to talk about it afterwards, I think the only reference we can see to a Lord's Day is in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, which John's speaking there. And he's by himself on Patmos. He's not going to church, and we're not told what Lord's Day that is. He was a Jew by background. Was it a Saturday? Was it a Sunday? And I don't think we're wrong to say this is the Lord's Day, because Sunday's the day we meet with the Lord's people, so I'm okay with that. Well, it is true. As Christianity did spread, meeting on the Sunday did become the standard, absolutely. But that happened while they were still working on a Sunday. And so, for me, if society gives us Sunday as a day off, then that is a wonderful time that we can meet as God's people together. I'm very, 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 don't get me wrong, I'm very, very happy with church on a Sunday. I wouldn't want to change it. Gathering together as Christians is absolutely vital. That's a non-negotiable. But I don't think the fact we're meeting on a Sunday was a command. And it just shows, just to show, this isn't perhaps an evangelical church in the 21st century that's just made this up now, and this was never the case in history. This is a quote from Bible scholar. I have to thank Tim for this quote. It's from biblical scholar Augustine, around 400 AD. And it's quite a lengthy quote, and some of it's a bit difficult language, so bear with me. And I'm dyslexic, so that's not going to help. But for this reason, that all the Ten Commandments, that which related to the Sabbath, was the only one in which the thing commanded was typical. That the Sabbath command was the only one that was typical, figurative. It was a sign. For while the Sabbath is a figure presented of the spiritual rest, of which it said in the Psalm, "Be still and know that I am God," and unto which men are invited by the Lord himself in the word, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As to all the things enjoined in the other commandments, we yield to them as obedience, in which there is nothing typical. So all the other nine commandments, they're not typical, they're literal. And so he goes on to say, for we have been taught literally not to worship idols, and the precepts enjoining us not to take God's name in vain. To honour our father and mother, not to commit adultery or kill or steal or bear false witness or covet our neighbour's wife or covet anything that our neighbours are all to be literally observed. So what are these other commands to be literally observed? And then he finally says, but we are not commanded to observe the day of the Sabbath literally in resting bodily labour that is observed by the Jews. So we can see very much that the early church still had this view that this Sabbath was a sign that's been fulfilled in Christ and he's our rest. Now, if you hold a different point of view of the Sabbath tonight, that's 100% and absolutely fine. This is a point of doctrine where we will discuss but not divide. We'll discuss and not divide. And perhaps a comment that we need to bear in mind tonight is Paul's comment in Romans 14, which should warn us about condemning each other for our views here. So Romans 14:5, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their mind. Remember the church situation there in Rome. Some were of Jewish background believers, some were of Gentile background believers. The Jewish background believers probably wanted to keep one day special, while the Gentile background believers probably didn't think that. But Paul didn't force one or the other, did he? He was more concerned in letting people live out their conscience before God. If their conscience, they felt like they were disobeying God by doing this, then Paul said, no, just listen to your conscience in this area. So where does that leave us? Firstly, it's wise to take time off. Many people, and some in this church, many in this church, work too hard. And as a result, some perhaps families, spiritual lives, and health can suffer as a result. How many times, perhaps, if there's any families looking on the live link at the moment, how many times do you check your work emails during time off? Maybe some people are never really off work. And some need to learn how to rest properly. Rest, don't just view rest, oh, this is just killing time. No, absolutely not. It's resting from work so we can enjoy other parts of life that God has given us. Get outside, enjoy God's good creation. But ultimately, we should rightly celebrate our true Sabbath, God's salvation, that Jesus provides that real rest that's far better. You might know, when did the Jewish Sabbath start? It started at the sunset on Friday, didn't it? That's when the Jewish Sabbath started, sunset on Friday. Literally, just before the Sabbath started on that Good Friday, what happened? We said this morning, what happened just before the Sabbath started on that Good Friday? What was said? John 19. Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirits. It was now the day of preparation. The next day was to be a special Sabbath. Christ accomplished his work on that sixth day. And then by trusting him, he's ushered us into that Sabbath rest forever. Just from trusting him. Think about your regular physical rest now, whether that's a day off, whether that's a holiday. Perhaps you can think back at a holiday and just think, that was so glorious. That's just a glimpse and a reminder of the even greater rest to come. And in the meantime, as you toil and work perhaps too hard, maybe as you fail to celebrate salvation, remember Jesus kept these commands perfectly for you. He never broke the Sabbath, despite being accused of it, like we read then. But he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And he comes to bring perfect rest. And he invites you to join that tonight. Have you come to him for that rest for your soul? So, brother, sister, are you weary, tired, depressed? Jesus brings Sabbath, even now, to a world that is burdened and desperate for rest. Again, Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Amen.